Amen. God is so good. So, 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 so good. Last Sunday morning, during our morning service, Marilyn and Boyd were here, and while they were here, their house burned down completely on 23rd Street, and I didn't find out till about till Wednesday and called them, and they says, well, the Lord's taking care of things. The insurance is on it. But anyway, keep them in your prayers that this attack against them will turn around for their good, that they will end up better than they were before. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when I talked to Boyd about it, he says, well, the good thing, we were in church. We were in church when it happened. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And the enemy sends things against us, but God turns it around to our blessing and our good. Amen. I'm going to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 9:10. And it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and supplies bread for your food will also multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And I just want to say that God puts seed in everyone's hand. And we are responsible to sow that seed so that it multiplies. Hallelujah. A seed, I mean, if you eat your seed, it's just gone. It's used. But if you sow your seed, then it multiplies and comes back to you. Hallelujah. It's a law of God. It's one of the laws of the Spirit. Whatever you sow, that's going to come back to you. And that's in finances. It's also in everything else. What are you sowing with your words? What are you sowing with your lifestyle? What are you sowing? Hallelujah. What you sow and put out is what's going to come back to you. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. And so I have one more thing to share with you quickly. We got a message from Mike and Cindy Jacobs this week. They're prophets of the Lord and part of a national prophetic team that gets together. But they said on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis on the door of the Castle Church in Whittington, Germany, beginning what would become known as the Protestant Reformation. Ironically, these theses were not an attack on the church as much as a reintroduction of what true repentance really meant and a call to return to it. We now find ourselves just days away from October 31st, 2017, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The church today is in a similar place of lack in understanding true repentance. We are still not yet operating in the full potential the church was established by Jesus to display. In Martin Luther's day, sin and corruption were rampant. Immorality was destroying the family, and truth was whatever influential people said it was. Does that sound familiar? People say, well, whatever I think is truth, that's truth. They define their own truth. And the generals of prophetic council in the United States have written a new Reformation manifesto specifically for this 500th anniversary on October 31st, 2017. Read it and pray through it as often as possible through this month and up to the October 31st. And it says print it out and post it on the door of your home or your business or your church. Anyway, I'm going to read their Reformation Manifesto, and I have made copies of it that are on the back table back there. If you would like a copy, you're welcome to take one and read it or hang it up on your house, whatever you feel led to do with it. A new season of Reformation has begun. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will love as Christ loved. We will stand for truth as it is written in the Word of God, the Bible, and in so doing, we'll shift our countries towards righteousness and justice in our homes, churches, areas of government authority, in the marketplace, financial arena, and business, in educational systems and schools, in arts and entertainments, and in the media. We carry forth his gospel. We will see the prayer of Jesus made manifest. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As the church of the 21st century, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our only Savior and Lord, and we serve him first and foremost. We declare that the Word of God is the standard upon which we shall conduct our lives, and we will carry that standard into every arena of life God leads us into. We believe that we have a biblical mandate to pray for all those in authority, regardless of political party or persuasion, so that the decisions they make will be the best for the citizens of our nation. We believe in the sanctity of life, that all individuals have the right to life from the point of conception to death. Therefore, no one has the right to take the life of another person through crime, abortion, euthanasia, or assisted suicide. Additionally, we believe that the quality of life for every individual matters. Therefore, we believe in addressing systemic issues like poverty, racism, and humanism, human trafficking, as well as advocating for biblically based systems of education, healthcare, justice, economics, and government. We believe that God entrusted humanity with the stewardship of the earth. Therefore, we believe we have the responsibility to properly care for the environment and wisely use our natural resources. We believe that God intentionally created human beings as male and female. Therefore, the gender identity we are born with is not a mistake and is unchangeable. Additionally, we believe that God created men and women as equals. Therefore, we believe in addressing systems, doctrines, and practices that treat women as inferior or less valuable. We believe that the Creator of the universe, Almighty God, has endowed these rights and responsibilities to all individuals. Education. We believe that every person has the right to an education in order to fulfill their God-given potential. Therefore, we seek to establish educational systems that not only provide solid job skills, but also promote character and development and critical thinking. Family. We believe that marriage between one man and one woman is the biblical foundation of the family. We acknowledge that many families have been fractured. Therefore, we seek to support and promote wholeness for every parent desiring God's best for their children. We believe every person belongs in the fellowship of a family, regardless of age or marital status. Therefore, we actively engage in building community and connecting the generations. We believe that every child has the right to a family and that adoption is the option to abortion. Government. We believe that the government is given by God to serve the people. Therefore, we believe it is the right of every citizen, regardless of race, gender, or economic status, to elect public office those who will govern them. We believe that Christians should not shrink back from serving in elected and appointed government offices, as this brings peace and justice into the land. The church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the one true God, the creator and owner of the world. Every individual has the right to hear that Jesus is God and needs to personally accept him as Savior. We believe it is the role of the church to steward his world and represent his kingdom. Therefore, it is the right of all people to have the freedom to share their faith in every institution of society. Business. We believe that biblical character and ethics are essential for the operation of righteous business to produce wealth. We believe it is the right of every person to have purposeful work with adequate provision. Therefore, we believe we are called to eradicate systemic corruption and poverty. Arts and entertainment. We believe that arts and entertainment are a means of celebrating our Creator and His creation. We believe that arts and entertainment can provide rest and enjoyment in addition to being an expression of the culture and should be consistent with biblical worldview. Therefore, we are committed to developing such expressions and fostering space for godly artists and entertainers to cultivate their gifts. Media. We believe it is the role of the church, the role of media to inform, educate, investigate, and report on issues related to the establishment of righteousness and justice in the society. Fair and accurate reporting of the truth is essential for this to occur. Therefore, we believe it is our right to freely express biblical worldview through all media outlets and to disseminate information without censorship. Hallelujah. That's just a good list of what we believe and what we are responsible for as a church. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. Isn't she pretty? I encourage you to pick up your own personal copy of this manifesto before you go home today and to post it where you can review it. It's no accident or coincidence that Martin Luther's manifesto, after 500 years, is still alive and speaking and preserved. And it's no accident or coincidence that we get to be a part in this generation of an amendment, you might say, or a renewal of that manifesto in what we need today. I mean, believe it or not, we're making history. The life we live, we're making history. The spiritual life, the political life, the social life that we live is history. What you did yesterday is history. And there are important aspects of history that we need to make sure we're included in. Amen? And so I encourage you to be a part of this in your own. Well, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you've been with us this morning in such a sweet way. And we just hang in there with us, Lord. Stay with us. Keep prompting. Keep inspiring. Keep moving us by faith. Keep teaching us, for we're here to learn. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you so much that we can be here this morning with your lovely family. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed, thank you, Mauro, you probably did notice that all of our songs talked about the names of Jesus or the names of God. Anybody notice that? Well, we felt led of the Lord to make it so. What I'm about to share with you started last Saturday at the Oasis event. And one of the most prominent songs it was sang over and over and over and over, and quite lengthy, was this song we sang this morning, What a Beautiful Name It Is. And the Lord began to speak to me last Saturday night about the beauty of that name and the power of that name. And I mean, I've been using the name of Jesus and exhorting in the name of Jesus, preaching in the name of Jesus, praying in the name of Jesus most of my life. And yet, all of a sudden, I feel this freshness in the air. This freshness that we need to embrace is concerning the name of Jesus. And this particular song in particular, how beautiful it is, it's really been speaking to my heart. And then the next morning, last Sunday, I come to church and Becky hands me a bulletin that she had worked up. And the whole bulletin was at the name of Jesus. Remember last Sunday? And it just really spoke to my heart, because Saturday evening at Oasis, the Lord's speaking to me about the importance of His name and how we need to dig into it. And then Becky comes up with the same heartbeat on Sunday morning. I really like the little cartoon where the little golden-haired girl looks like Sophia. She's making the devil bow. Remember that last Sunday? If you don't, you could maybe pick one up later. Even a child, like this little girl in the cartoon, like our little Sophia, little child can say, hey, devil, in the name of Jesus. He has to get on his knees. And so I've been working now for the past week on the names of Jesus, and wow. Now, I would ask you to turn in your Bible, but your Bible doesn't have what mine has, because this is a study Bible, and it has helps in it. And I'm going to read some things to you as concerning the names of God in the Old Testament. How many have ever read the Old Testament? Come on. Have you ever noticed the name Jehovah? How about Lord? The name Lord comes up frequently. Amen? Well, if you had a Hebrew Bible, anybody here have one? If you had a Hebrew Bible, many of the places where your Bible says Lord, the Hebrew Bible says Jehovah. And many of the places, it has other names of God. You mean God has more than one name? Yeah, I do too. I have at least three names. And if you like me, you can add another name. If you dislike me, you can add another name. My children call me Daddy, and my grandchildren call me Tata. You know, my enemies call me SOB, and my friends call me, hey, you, I love you, man. Do we have multiple names? Do those names have a lot to do with our relationship or the relationship I have with people? Huh? Same thing with God. Everybody say, same thing with God. Now, if we had a Hebrew Bible, we could go through it and find a lot of his names that we don't have or learn in our English Bible. Let me give you some examples. El, E-L. El, you know, like in Spanish, E-L. That is one of the most prominent names of God in the Old Testament. How about that? Maybe the Spanish speakers have something right here. El, breaking it to English, it means the strong one. So everywhere God was dealing with his people as El, speaking to his people as El, he was speaking to them concerning his attribute, his nature as a strong one. Amen? In other places, as El, he spoke to them as Almighty God. In other places, Everlasting God, as the Living God, as the Faithful God. Depending on how he used his name, El, it was broken down into other aspects, other personalities, you might say, of God, attributes of God. Many times in the Old Bible, if he wanted to be known as the Mighty One, he would say, Eloah speaks to you. He wouldn't say Jehovah, he'd say Eloah. Are you with me? Kinda. And here's one. If he wanted to speak to someone as the Almighty, he would be known to them as Elohim. Elohim. Now here we get over to Jehovah. He is. Remember he spoke to Moses at the burning bush, said, I am. Go tell them in Egypt that I am sent you. I am. Well, it kind of fits in with this. Jehovah is, in many places, is the self-existing one. And this is also, this particular usage of Jehovah is used 6,000 times in the Old Testament. That's a popular name. And it's transliterated as Yahweh. How about that song we sing here a lot, Yahweh? Remember that, Yahweh? Yeah, pretty cool song, isn't it? Well, God introduced himself and spoke to his people many times as Yahweh. And Yahweh can be transliterated to Jehovah and vice versa. And that many times when Yahweh was spoken of, he brought the past, the present, and the future together. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that sound familiar? Amen. And many of the parallels with Yahweh many of the New Testament parallels is where Jesus is called Lord in the New Testament. Amen? So you see the familiarity, the connections here? Adon. Adon is when the Lord presented himself as Lord, Master, Possessor, or Proprietor, the owner of all things. Adonai. Bobby, our son Bobby, used to have a high school friend that used to sing the most beautiful song called Adonai. It was a beautiful Christian song. And Adonai is Lord and Master. And then we have God using a combination of names like Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. You know? See? Well, in the Old Testament, he used combinations like that many times. And Jehovah Adonai. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, Jehovah is God. Jehovah Sabaoth, which is Jehovah of the heavenly armies. You know God's general of an army? A big one. Jehovah Elohim Sabaoth is the Lord God of hosts. Jehovah is God of the heavenly armies. Adonai, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Jehovah of the heavenly armies. A little bit different combination there. Elohim Sabaoth, God of hosts, God of heavenly armies. Adonai Jehovah, meaning Lord God, the Lord is Jehovah. Now here's my favorite, El Elyon, which translates as the Most High God. The High God in Spanish should be Altísimo Padre. Now, El Elyon is the one that overshadowed Mary when she got pregnant with Jesus. And so God presented himself as Father of his Son by presenting himself as El Elyon. And when you trace out the meaning of his name, it's just full of mercy and compassion and grace and New Testament theology all the way through. It's just beautiful. And it also means God is the High One. How many know He is? El Roi, which means God sees me. God is the one who sees me. El Shaddai. El Shaddai translates as the Almighty God. God Almighty. The Almighty. God is the all-powerful one, the many-breasted one, the all-sufficient one. Think about this. How about El Olam, the everlasting God? God is the eternal one. El Gibor, the mighty God. God is the warrior. Elah Iyaya is an Aramaic name for God. God is the High One, corresponding with El Elyon, the Most High God. And the Jehovahs have a lot of combinations. You're more familiar with these now, I think. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Tirisku, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. El Chai, the living God. El Kana, the jealous God. El Hanun, the merciful God. El Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there's your Hebrew lesson for the morning. So why are you even going into all this? Well, in order for God to help us visualize what he looks like, he gives us his names and their meaning. Yeah. His names and their meaning. Now, I want to take you, and we're going to look at some down-to-earth meanings of God and what we might call him from Psalms 103. Psalms 103, we'll start with the first verse. " You might say, well, that doesn't make sense to me that God would have so many names. Well, let me bring it down to earth just a little bit while you're looking up Psalms 103. Barbara likes to use this with the Border Patrol. Anybody here with the Border Patrol or the government agency along that line, Customs? Okay, we can talk about them. They're not here. Barbara likes to use this little thing. You know, why does God have so many names? Well, why does the Border Patrol officer have so many names? My grandson-in-law is one. He's not here, so I can talk about him. Huh? Yeah? His name's Brett Morris. He's got a middle name, but I don't know it. So there's three names. He's got a wife that calls him Babe, Sweetheart. Hey, Knucklehead, do this over here. Yeah. He's got a mama that calls him Son. He's got a daughter that calls him Daddy. He's got a boss that calls him who knows what. He's got guys throwing rocks over the fence at him from the other side, calling him all kinds of Spanish names that you don't want to repeat. How many names does he have? Lots. Why? Because he has lots of relationships of various levels with different people. Huh? You get it? It's the same thing with God, guys. Don't get all bent out of shape or think this is too religious or think this is off over in left field somewhere that I'm preaching. God's got so many names. No, no, we're talking about relationship and what it's, how it's expressed. Amen? So anyway, enough of that. I believe you're getting the picture. So did you find 103 of Psalms? Okay, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's in me. Bless his holy what? Name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay, what would we call him if we receive benefits from him? Come on, help me out, English. Benefactor. Right? Benefactor. So he's our benefactor. Okay, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Now what would we call him? The forgiver? The healer? Amen. Number 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Now what is he? Verse 4, who redeems your life? Who redeems your life? What do you call him now? Redeemer. Thank you, Barbara. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. What would we do with that? He's the loving one. He's the kind one. He's the tender one. He's the merciful one. Number 5, he satisfies with my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle. What do I call him now? Provider, strengthener, promoter. Number 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all that is oppressed. So now, he is the righteous one. He is the just one. Amen. Number 7, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. So what is he now? He's a revealer of himself. Number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Who is God now? Oh, his name is mercy, mercy, mercy. Yes, yes. Jumping to verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. Compassion. This word here, pity, is having compassion on. Compassionate God. Jumping down to verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Again, mercy, 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 mercy. Our God is the merciful one. Amen. What does God do you today? Mercy. What does God do you today? Healing. What does God do you today? Savior. You know, you interview the old boy that just got born again last night. You know, he just got born again last night, and he thinks the whole world's a different place, and he's all excited. You know, his soul's been cleansed, and all the junk's taken out of his life, and the burden's off of his shoulder, and he's just dancing, thinking, man, I got to tell everybody about Jesus. This is so cool. This is a high like nobody can give me a high before. And you ask him the next morning, what's Jesus to you? And he said, Savior. liberator, the joy of my life. Now, look at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. This is a Christmas verse, and since it's just a couple of months till Christmas, we're going to do this. Six and seven of Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And his name, whose name? The son's name? Will be called. Okay, here we go. Names of God. And remember, this is Isaiah before Jesus was born, but he was prophesying about God having a son, right? So this is Jesus. Everybody say, this is Jesus. And the prophet, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, calls the name Wonderful. He says that son that's going to be born is wonderful. That Jesus that will be born is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and increase of his government. There he's a governor. And peace, he's a peacemaker. There'll be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Now Jesus is on the throne of David, so that makes him a K-I-N-G. So we see here, even in the Old Testament, Jesus has a lot of names. I think the reason the Lord wants us to review these truths is so that when you come up against the wall, if you come get behind the eight ball, if you come up against a challenge, there is a name of God that will take care of that. There is a name of God that takes care of every situation that comes along our way. The devil cannot throw anything in our path that the name of God won't fix. The devil gets in your way, you can say, hey, devil, get out of my way. My Redeemer's on my side, and he's against you. My Deliverer's on my side, and he's against you. Hey, devil, shut up. My provider is going to help me pay that bill. I don't care what the devil throws at you. You can find the name of God. Now, as we move along, we're going to find out by the end of this little sermon that he made it easy for us. He says, just use the name of Jesus. Because he is all of those other names all tied into one. And so that we don't even have to take the time or generate the energy of thought to come up with a specific name like Revealer or Redeemer or say, I mean, those are great. Use them if you can. But you can just say, devil, did you forget that I believe in Jesus? Hey, stupid. Did you forget that I trust in Jesus? Hey, you ignoramus. If I was as ugly as you, I'd never leave the house. Listen. Listen, dog breath. In Jesus' name, get out of my life. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. God is refreshing us this morning with the spirit of the name, with the energy in the name, with the faith in the name. Reuben exhorted us with the scripture, we walk not by sight, but by faith. You know, you could actually turn that around and legally, I guess you could say, I don't walk by sight, I walk by the name of Jesus. You can't separate faith from Jesus or Jesus and faith. They are one. He's the essence of faith. Where am I now? Anybody know where I'm at? 901 11th Street. I want to respect that name more. I don't want to ever use it in vain. You know, even the Old Testament Ten Commandments says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. How many of us have mistakenly said, you know, we get a report from someone, maybe even somewhat lighthearted, and we say, wow, Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Ay, Jesus Cristo. We just use his name in vain for no reason at all, baby. I want to develop in our lives a respect for the name of Jesus that makes the devils 100 miles away go to trembling. I want to have such a relationship with the name of Jesus that I can freely use it, but with the utmost respect. You know, you can allow your respect to get you to the point where you're afraid to say it or touch it. I have Catholic friends, bless their darling hearts, that have Bibles, but they won't touch them because they're holy. Hermano Calvino, it says, Santa Biblia. Touch that. I don't read that, man. It's holy. We could do that with our respect to the name of Jesus. It becomes so religiously holy to us that we're afraid to say it. No, I want to be free to say it, but with the utmost of respect. And I believe that he gave us the authority and the permission to say it. And we want to refresh that revelation to our hearts this morning. Look at Matthew 28, 18. I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. There used to be a fellow that came to church here on a regular basis, and he moved away to Phoenix. But he was trying to share Jesus with a member of the JWs, the Jehovah's Witness. God bless him. I don't want to speak down on anybody, but he was sharing what the Lord had done in his life. He'd say, listen, guy, the Lord has done this, and the Lord has done that, and the Lord's changed my life. The Lord saved my life. And the guy finally started and said, Lord who? There's all kinds of lords in this world. England's full of them. Lords and ladies. What are you talking about, Lord? He said, I'm talking about the Lord of lords. The Lord that's over all the lords. I'm talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, born in Nazareth, in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so it's not Jesus that gives us the power. It's knowing who that he is. And it's not just any Jesus. There's a whole lot of Jesuses and Jesuses out there. 2,000 years ago, there were a number of people. There were even authors of the parts of the Bible that were named Jesus. But it wasn't Jesus born of God. And so it's more than just the letter of the name, the natural, you know, the lettering. It's more than that. It's the knowledge, the revelation, the spiritual insight of which Jesus you're talking about. And brother, he's powerful. You ask me, which Jesus? The only begotten Son of God. The El Elyon that overshadowed the Virgin Mary and brought forth the Son of God. Did you find Matthew 28, 18? Jesus said, now when Jesus says something, perk up and pay attention. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, how much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he said, now I got all the authority. I'm wearing the badge and the gun. So I want you to go out there and make disciples of all the nations. and baptize them in three of my names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I, this Jesus, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. All authority. Now, when you go start making disciples of nations and somebody says, who said you could do this? The boss. Who's the boss? Jesus. Which Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the living God. The only Jesus that was begotten of the Father. The only Jesus that received the permission from the Father in the first place. The only Jesus. That's where I get my authority to disciple the nations. Mark 16:17. Everybody's familiar with that one. Mark 16:17. Makes me want to sing that silly song, but I won't. 16 says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. These signs will follow those that believe in my name. All of a sudden, you know, in Matthew, he was talking to his 12 disciples. And in this verse in Mark, he's talking to about 500 people. Acts chapter 1 will explain that to you if you need it. All authority. The signs follow those that believe in my name. He didn't say those that believe in my existence, those that believe in what I did one time 2,000 years ago, those that believe in my names that I used in the Old Testament, you know, 6,000 years ago. No, Jesus. And we know who he's talking about when he says Jesus. And when you get to revelation that you now have authority to use his name, and his name has authority from the Father to do anything he wants to do. Baby, you got power. You've got power. Now, I'm not going to take time to read it, but I encourage you sometime in the near future, read Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. In Acts 3 and 4, we have the account of Peter and John going to the temple to pray. And there was a crippled man at the gate, you know, sitting on the front porch out here, a crippled man. And when people come in, he'd beg, you know, come on, 10 pesos para un taco, por favor. Brother, could you spare a quarter? Come on, we've all experienced the begging of a beggar. Well, this man was there at the temple gate every day. And because he kept coming back every day is a signal that the Christians evidently were pretty generous. I like that. You know, if they were all tightwads and stingy, as they say in Spanish, muy coro. If they were stingy, he wouldn't keep coming back every day. What's that tell us? Good to be generous. Well, the guy gets healed in the name of Jesus. And next thing you know, he's off the porch and dancing down through the aisles of the church. And everybody is in awe. Hey, that looks like the guy that was the crippled guy out there. Does he have a twin brother? He's got to have a twin because, you know, he's been crippled since he was a child. Couldn't be him. But I saw him a few minutes ago when I came in. He had those same clothes on. Hey, you, dancing. You're not the guy that was out there begging, are you? He goes, I am. I'm the one. How did that happen? A couple of preachers came by and they said, arise and walk in the name of Jesus. And I did. Yeah. And Acts 3 and Acts 4 goes on to tell the story. These two preachers got arrested for it. The religious officers who kept things in order around the temple had them arrested because they were disturbing the peace. And they brought them, you know, created this little kangaroo court thing and brought them up before the judge. Said, under whose authority are you doing this stuff? Those guys were so dumb. They were dumber than a box of rocks. Here, a notable miracle had been done. And rather than praising God for the notable miracle, they're saying, who told you could do this? Talk about stupidity in the religious mind. Blindness. Jesus said there'd be blind. He said the blind would lead the blind. But you know, saying, who, you know, this whose name? Well, Peter. Praise God for Peter and his boldness. He says, I'll just have you know there, buddy. And he brought this way down low where they might be able to get a hold of it. He said, we did that miracle in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. He didn't even say we did it in the name of the crucified Savior. He didn't even say we did it in the name of the resurrected Savior. He said, we did it in the name of the Holy Child. The Holy Child, the babe in the manger, had enough anointing and enough power and enough authority. That's all they needed, Reuben. All they needed to heal that old boy was the authority Jesus had in the crib. We healed that man in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Makes me happy. Please stand to your feet. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Old Testament names, so many of them speaking of the everlasting, everlasting God, Almighty God. You know, I think back all the way to Genesis 1 and God's creating. And he creates this beautiful universe and the beautiful earth and the garden. And creation says, wow, what's your name, sir? What is your name, great creator? He said, my name is Word. He said, my name is Word. They grab a hold of that and try to simulate the thought and say, what do you look like, Word? He says, I look like the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of you need proof for that one, so I'm going to read John chapter 1. In the beginning, everybody say, in the beginning. That's before creation. The beginning was before creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 14 says, that Word, that same creative Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when this creation says, Word, what do you look like? He says, I look like Jesus. And Jesus says, they say to Jesus, well, Jesus, what do you look like? He says, I look like my Father. I look like God. Paul says a little later on, he said, Jesus Christ was the express image of the Father. Now, I haven't broken that down into, you know, the definition of words, but I got a feeling that express image is just like Him. Not a difference, not a smidgen of difference. Just like Him. Jesus is the express image of the Father. The disciple Philip said, Lord, you're always talking about the Father. Lord Jesus, you're always talking about the Father. Show Him to us. Philip said, I've been with you so long and you hadn't seen Him yet? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Folks, when you use the name of Jesus, all of God and His heaven and all of God and His army, all of God and His authority, all of God and His creative power, when you use the name of Jesus, all that God is behind you. Everybody say, God's on my side. Did you know you and God make the majority? Please close your eyes and pray with me. Lord, when I think about the beauty of Your name, I want to shout and run and move mountains. And at the same time, I just want to kneel before You and say, oh, mighty God, who am I that You would let me share Your name? Jesus. Please just keep your eyes closed, stay in an attitude of prayer, and just gently sing along with this a little bit.